Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends, they let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me,
around for me,
around for me,
it's turning around.
I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
If I stand strong and believe.
There's no reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out.
And it's turning around.
The good news.
It won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. And sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, founder, owner, and executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And it brings me great joy to welcome you to Wounded No More for this Thursday, October 14th, 2021. And now, my brothers and sisters, here is your anointed host and facilitator, Prophetess Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. Appreciate the introduction. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wounded No More. It's an honor to be here, and it's an honor to serve you. And I thank God for my covering, Bishop Cook, who is not just faithful, but she's real, and she's consistent, and she's faithful, and I appreciate that for her being in my life. Now, tonight we are going to continue to talk about a servant's heart. It's been kind of the theme I wanted to address, but let me give you a little background about why I am talking about this topic at this time. Once again, let's refer to the title of the show, Wounded No More. And there are different demographics and different levels of woundedness that we have talked about on this podcast for a while. And I've talked about leaders, I've talked about families, I've talked about, you know, people, you know, outside of church, in church, why they don't want to come in church and all this and that. But I really have a heart for leaders. And it started about, let's see, 5 or 6 years ago. I had done a Facebook Live for about 5 weeks called Taking Care of a Servant's Heart. Because the Lord was really dealing with me in my intercession and in my prayer time to pray for our leaders. And from that place of praying and interceding for our leaders, he just softened my heart and had me just look into the deeper issues of leadership. And it led me to all these different resources, but it helped me to study and to learn how to pray for them more effectively. And from that came the show that I self-titled called like Taking Care of a Servant's Heart. So tonight I am going into... Actually, a couple of weeks ago, in September, I started to talk about how leaders need to be spiritually, emotionally healthy in their leadership. As God began to deal with me about leaders that are suffering, leaders that are overburdened, leaders that are tired, leaders that are walking away from ministry and sometimes walking away from God because of so many issues. And, of course, we've seen this play out in our society and in the church community as a whole. We've lost leaders to suicide. We've lost leaders to violence, to all types of drug abuse, and you name it, infidelities, all kinds of stuff. This is an ongoing thing. It didn't just grieve me, but it made me concerned that something is wrong. And, of course, this is a complex issue. And so this doesn't just refer to others. This refers to myself as well. And so, of course, you know, like I say with every program, whatever is you can glean from this, whatever God is speaking to you, make it your own. Be accountable to what God is saying to your heart so that you can apply it in your life so that whatever you hear doesn't just convict you in a way to say something is wrong, but also remind you of who you belong to, because he corrects those he loves. And, you know, if we weren't his sons, he wouldn't correct us. But we are not illegitimate. We are bona fide sons. And so because of that, as servant leaders, this is where my heart is. This is where, why I'm hitting this nail so, so hard. And as I'm preparing for this in advance, a lot of times there's two things I hear in my head. Now, this is me being very honest and transparent. There's a part of me that says, why do you keep hitting, you know, beating a dead horse? First of all, I'm not beating a dead horse. I'm being led to do it. And second of all, I feel like it's not a dead horse. It's still an issue. There's still people are crying out. There's still woundedness in leadership. So that's why I keep bringing it up. And that's just my carnal nature. Then there's a part of me that also says, go deeper. Keep going deeper. Keep picking at the, you know, these places that need to be addressed. This isn't just regular conversation, and this does not require you to be deep and be a scholar in the Bible. It just is dealing with issues that have always been there and have never been addressed. So I think the last time I talked about soul issues of servant leaders, and I was just talking, but I would bring up scriptures. I talked about low self-esteem, self-awareness in leadership, expressing our emotions appropriately, compartmentalizing, being overextended, not spending enough time with God, and dealing with broken relationships in our relation in our leadership. So I talked about that, but I really was talking from a place of from the heart, like talking to you one-on-one as my brother and sister in Christ. And that is exactly where I'm coming from tonight, is I'm talking to you heart to heart. I'm talking to myself as well as to you as a servant and as somebody that cares and is learning to be equipped to help you bear burdens and to help you face things alone. You know what? I had a revelation earlier this week as I was praying about not this topic per se, but something to do with people just healing as a whole. And I said, you know why some people are not encouraged to heal? It's because they don't want to do it alone. And I feel like that is a big part of it. People deal with these days a lot of loneliness, doing things alone or feeling alone while they're doing something very hard. And so that is my, oh, my God, that is such my heart. And I know the Holy Spirit helps me to articulate that. That's where I'm coming from. You don't have to do this alone. And really, we have to learn to connect to each other in the body of Christ so that we know we're never alone. First of all, the Lord is always with us, and there is always a brother and sister that God will lead you to that will walk with you in your place of pain. Not so you can stay there, but so you can walk through it. And that's what I'm doing right now, is to help you walk through that, to help us be better leaders, to help us be more equipped with what's going on, and so that we can present ourselves to the Lord to be healed or to get stronger. So tonight I'm going to talk about, this is part three, and this is the last part of my installation, talking about a servant's heart. I'm just going to talk, are you leading from the heart? Are you leading from hurt? That's my topic. Are you leading from the heart? Or are you leading from hurt? And so we are going to talk about, and forgive me if I'm all over the place because there's so many things that I want to talk about tonight. And just keep in mind that I'm just really touching on those things. If God is dealing with you about something specific, you may want to be, encouraged to go further into what God is saying to you specifically about the certain things that I will deal with. A lot of times when we're leading, one thing we have to be assured of is to make sure that we are being led. Not just by, of course, by the Lord, but not by our own ambitions and not by our own experiences, so to speak, or somebody else's, let's just say that. And the first and most, it's a difficult task many times to keep ourselves in this place of humility. And so sometimes we forget, sometimes we're in denial about it, and sometimes we are neglecting that part of ourselves that needs to know, am I being led? You know, let me go back to this place. And am I leading from the heart of God or am I leading from my hurt? Okay, let me keep digging at this. And these, you know, when we keep ignoring these things in our lives about examining ourselves and assessing where we are, it can create a lot of inner conflict. And I would call these mazes or places of entanglement. Immediately when I think of this topic, I think of conflict. I think of just a big, a ball of yarn that's tangled or a string that's tangled or necklaces that are tangled all together, and somebody's got to untangle that. And the Lord is here. The Holy Spirit is here to help us untangle these things in our soul. And I'm still talking about the soul. The soul refers to the will, the mind, and the emotions. And so that's the first thing I'm going to talk about today is why are we not allowing ourselves to examine where we really are through the Holy Spirit? When we go down to pray, God's been dealing with me about this. It's like I've had these burdens to pray about certain things. I have, you know, most intercessors and servant leaders pray for a lot of different things on a regular basis. We have our list. We have our tasks. And the Lord just stopped me throughout the day and said, I need you to take some time to pray for yourself. I need you to take some time to talk to me and write down some things that's going on with you, because he will prompt me into when I'm getting in these places of being overloaded or burning out. He knows that better than me. And so I just want to encourage you to deal with those inner conflicts and take a moment to sit back and say, Lord, am I facing areas in my life where I'm being led by my hurt, or am I being led by your heart? So with that being said, the next thing we're going to talk about is when you, you know, many times when you take time to lead and make sure who you're being led by, that once again, make sure what outlet you're plugged into. Are you plugged into the culture and the world, the concepts of the world, or are you plugged into the word? Are you plugged into what God is saying to you, what you need to do for the people and how to serve him? Or are you more plugged into people pleasing? And what that, when you really start looking at that, the Holy Spirit is right there on your shoulder, so to speak, kind of talking to you, helping you to learn and understand where you are and where you think you are. Okay, so there's three things he usually does. He deals with you about where you are, where you think you are, and he'll show you where you are. So he'll ask you, where are you? And you'll maybe say something to him. And so what it does is create intimacy. That's really what I want to say. When you begin to examine yourself and when you begin to understand, where am I leading from? It gets you out of your head, first of all, and into your soul. God begins to deal with you and to help you face the things in your soul. And so when you begin to deal with conflict and you begin to deal with these unhealthy coping mechanisms that you've used to finish and start your assignments and serve, he begins to say, oh, you know what? That's not going to help you right there. Coping mechanisms are things that we psychologically do to deal with, stress or heavy assignments, all kinds of things. But it's a psychological term that we use to say, well, this is how I cope with the fact that I have all this on my shoulders. This is how I cope with the fact that I have, low self-esteem. They're unhealthy. And really the Holy Spirit is there to help us with those things that we feel less confident about, or the things that we don't feel confident in, or the things that are making us heavy, the things that we might be depressed about or angry about, so that we don't employ unhealthy coping mechanisms in dealing with the conflict. Listen, especially when people are dealing with trying to be perfect, trying to do everything right, understanding that, the Lord is there to help us. And so there are times where we will make mistakes and we just have to be humble and learn from them and say, Lord, help me to be strong enough to be still and learn from the mistakes I've made in areas of my soul. Once again, I'm going to keep referring to this title, leading from your heart, leading from the heart of God, or leading from your hurt. And so leaders are targets. I'm not going to lie. We are targets, especially those with many assignments and trying to learn or do them the way that God is leading you to, and being pulled on at the same time by many responsibilities and trying to be accountable to those who you are under and who are over you. It's a lot to deal with. And so his coping mechanisms, or unhealthy coping mechanisms, get in the way, and they create a lot of anxiety and a lot of nervousness and restlessness in the body. Okay, so if you're one of those leaders that's dealing with a recent failure or something that you've done right, or something that maybe even be eating at you that really is a place of guilt, so it's not even the Holy Spirit dealing with you, it's your own thoughts that make you feel guilty about something you did, or something was said, or somebody's offended, or somebody's doing this and that. And the Lord is dealing with you about forgive, pray for peace, reconcile, be restored, and you're ignoring these things because you feel like, I ain't got time for this. I don't have time for that. And so what you begin to do is use these things against, and it really does affect your leadership because it creates this shield. It creates this nature where you're just cold. You're hard. Be aware of those things that draw you from one place to another in a place of conflict. You deal with those things early. If God is dealing with you about them, deal with them early so that you don't have to be coping in a way that's unhealthy. Have people that you talk to. I've taught this before about having a network of people or support system where you're safe, where you can confess certain things and deal with them, and they'll help you deal with them, not to vent, but to be in a relationship that keeps you accountable to the Lord and to yourself and to those you serve. So be aware of that. Also, you know, all these things are interconnected, by the way, and you'll see conflict, unhealthy coping mechanisms, as well as trying to please people and being afraid of displeasing people. Now, that word afraid, let's deal with that, and then I'll just take it a piece at a time. Being afraid to please people. Afraid, anytime there's fear, that does not come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And when there's fear, there's torment. And so if you're afraid of displeasing people, you can't lead people. You have to be more concerned about displeasing God and making sure that you're doing what he told you to do in a way that is to give him glory, not to give you glory or give someone else glory. So it says in the scriptures to seek to please people. I mean, it has many things to say about displeasing people, but first of all, it's a snare. It is a snare to get into that mindset of trying to please people for whatever reason. Make sure you're pleasing God. And many times if you're pleasing God, you'll be okay because it's not even available to please everybody. You can't please people. Even when you think you do or you are, you become a people pleaser. And believe it or not, that can be addicting. When people are in that mindset of trying to please people for whatever reason, I think that really comes from a place of woundedness to even want to try to please people. And when you're serving a lot of times and you've got many things on your plate, that is sometimes one of those things. It's like, I'm just task-driven. I got to check all the boxes and make sure everything is done. And the Holy Spirit is saying, to me, when I get in that mindset, when I'm serving, he'll say, what that creates is this, it goes back to this coping mechanism. I stay busy, which I'm going to talk about as well. I stay busy to not connect with people that I'm serving because I've got conflicts with serving people that don't want to be led by me and don't really want to be led by God. And so you see how these things work together. So you find it, even if you feel like you're not pleasing people, you're pleasing yourself to protect yourself. And that is also a dangerous place. But guess where it starts with? Trying to please people. And everything that I'm going to mention tonight, I'm going to pray about. And I have been praying about it because this can get, all I'm doing is looking at this with a microscope. We're looking at this really closer now. I have taught about different topics in the past as it pertains to our heart issues. But with leaders, I'm just going a little bit deeper. And even as I'm studying this, and I'm, like I said, the knife cuts coming and going. It's a double-edged sword. And I'm saying, ouch, you know, to myself, and I'm being convicted. But it's the truth because there's such a process to this that when you've been, especially when you've been serving for so long and you're doing a lot of things, you know, compelled to do them from your heart, from God's heart, and yet you're still a human, and yet you get tired, and yet people act ugly and do certain things, and you miss the mark. So these things will happen. It doesn't mean that you can't lead or still are not a good leader. It just means this is just a way of addressing these things, slowing down a little bit to address them and praying and being more connected with God. So that people-pleasing piece is a big piece. I think I did a whole lesson about that one time because it's so embedded in the world of religion. It's so embedded in our society and in our culture, even in church, people-pleasing. And we have to be careful of that, like I said, because that'll point back to, once again, leading from the heart of God or leading from your hurt. When people hurt you, especially when you're a leader and you get hurt by people, what I noticed is that even though you feel like you failed people, when you have unforgiveness in your heart towards those people, you still are serving them in a way. Let me give you an example. Unless you totally forgive them, otherwise you hold that stuff in your heart, and all you are rehearsing is what somebody did to you. So your actions a lot of times are being motivated or fueled by what they did to you or what they didn't do to you. So it's still people pleasing. It's still the focus is still not on the Lord. It's on the people and what they did to you. So don't fall into that trap in the first place. Let's just cut it at the gate. Don't start following people. Don't start looking for people to validate you. You don't need that. You need for the Lord to say it is well and well done. That's what you need more than anything. I'm telling you right now, and I know that Bishop can vouch for this. When you fall into that trap, however you fall into it, fall right back out of it, because then it's going to be a time and a place where you're not serving him, you're serving people and their agendas to go along with it. So be aware of that. And it also has to do with when we get part of the discipline of being a leader or servant leader is learning to deal with conflict, whether it's your own, which we just got done talking about, or, you know, a group of people. And we live in a society where some people, I don't like confrontation. I don't want no mess. Don't bring no mess. I don't want no mess. But ministry is messy. Serving is messy. It's just going to be. It doesn't have to be all the time, but there are times when it can be messy and cumbersome. And I mentioned before how many times we get really, really busy as a coping mechanism so we don't have to deal with the messy people or the messy situation. So we just get busy. And God is saying, okay, when that becomes a problem, it creates a habit. And I consider it like a spiritual nervous tick. You find work so you don't got to do the real work. And this is what I mean by that. Let me break it down and unpack this a little bit about conflict aversion. We don't have all the answers as we serve. God knows we don't. And as long as we don't act like it and know that he's the source and go to him when we need him, he helps us through a lot of, you know, conflict resolution issues that happen when we serve. But when we lean to our own understanding and we're trying to protect ourselves for whatever reason and we ain't and we're not dealing with our own stuff, that can create this nervous a restlessness to be busy so you don't got to deal with the messy part of people or being confrontational or having hard conversations or saying, I've got to be still and listen to God in this situation. I have to weigh it out. I have to wait it out. I have to, you know, get in a place of discipline following him and his lead. That's disciplined follower. There's discipline in serving people. But when you're running from people in your busyness, be aware of that, because that is avoiding conflict. Some conflict, even if you didn't cause it, God can equip you and develop in all of us how to be great solutionists and just be bearers of peace. And that's the choice. But for some of us, it does not come naturally. We'd rather not, you know, I don't want to smoke. I don't want to smoke. So I didn't make it and I don't want it. But a lot of times God will put us in places when he's trying to develop something in us, especially character-wise. He'll put us in places and in ministries and sometimes on our jobs where there is a lot of drama and a lot of conflict. And we can't run from it. We just can't lean to our own understanding in it either. God will lead us in it and show us what to do. So these are one of the things that I see sometimes in leaders is they stay busy to protect themselves so that they don't got to deal with the messy part of ministry. And, you know, the Lord, we're more than conquerors in everything. And so he puts that to a test from time to time. Since you are more than a conqueror, don't run from this. I'm here for you, and I will fight for you as needed. Sometimes we have to stand still. Sometimes we do have to confront things as we're led by the Holy Spirit, His way. And many times, depending on what's on our plate or our past or our reference from the past, we were like, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to be here. So I'm going to go do this instead. So be aware of those habits and begin to break them so that you can be, you know, consistently led by the Lord and be sensitive to His leading. And the next thing we're going to talk about is dealing with stuffing. This has to do with, it's kind of connected. It is very much connected to conflict aversion because you're pushing something down. I call it stuffing or dealing with things that accumulate in our emotions that we're not dealing with. And remember, once again, the soul has to do with our will, our mind, and our emotions. And when we begin to emotionally stuff, we become emotionally unavailable to the people that we lead, to the people that we serve. We become inauthentic because we got to turn and we have to flip and be something different every time because we're stuffing emotions. We're not dealing with our emotions. We're not dealing with our inner conflict. And we become, so to speak, constipated. How you lead from a place of constipation spiritually or just being so emotionally out of touch with people, it depends. You can get some of everything. And I think a lot of times when you look at certain leaders, instead of judging them, start to think about what they might be dealing with or quote-unquote not dealing with, what they might be suppressing, wounds and things. Some of these things are wounds and weaknesses and stuff. Once again, goes back to the title of the show. Are you leading from the heart of God or are you leading from your hurt? And so when people begin to stuff, it's safe. It's a safe place because they got too much to do. And it turns into perfectionism. And these are things of the, this has to do with pride. Things is the works of the flesh, you know, just like people pleasing is works of the flesh as well. So we have to realize, okay, why am I so cold or why am I just so numb? I believe by the time you realize you're numb spiritually or emotionally in this way, that you have already been stuffing for a while. Have you ever just been, you know, you hear two words a lot of time when before people start confessing that they're burnt out, you hear, I'm tired. And that's real. Sometimes we do get tired. And then you also hear, I'm numb. I'm just numb. I'm not connected to what I'm doing. I've shut myself off. And there's a reason why. There's usually an accumulation of untamed emotions. And that goes back to what we talked about with those conflicts. And, you know, one scripture I read today about just for myself in my regular time is the Lord was dealing with me about casting your cares. And He would talk to me like I'd be so irritated about something. And he'd be like, are you casting your cares or are you just venting to me? You know, when you tell somebody your troubles and you know they love you and care about you, they're going to give you some care. They're going to love on you, but they also going to tell you the truth. And they're going to give you something and impart something to you that will help you through it. And so, once again, there needs to be relationships that you have and that the God can create, help you to create, so that you don't have to emotionally stuff and walk around like nothing can touch you or that you're so out of touch emotionally. But for some people, this may be the opposite. When some people stuff, they become very stoic and very unemotional. But some people, they just become an emotional mess. It's almost like they're having a nervous breakdown because the floodgates, you know, are broken at that point and they can't control hardly anything they feel. They're up, they're down. So in both cases, like we used to say, like I used to hear in church a lot when I was a child, is when people would act out, so to speak, it's because they're being dealt with. God's dealing with them. That's not true all the time. I will have to say that sometimes it just means sometimes that person is at their wits end emotionally, and they are been suppressing and pushing down all this stuff for years or for months or for weeks or for days, and it's just a lot. And as you lead, It's easy to put on a different face. It's easy to put on your game face every day so that you can lead and so that you can serve. Leaders are, like I said earlier, targets. And so some people feel like, I can't afford to be sitting up here like an emotional mess. I can't afford to feel. I'll never do anything for God. And what I want to say to that is, deal with that stuff before it starts dealing with you, because you can't turn that stuff off by that time. And that's when people can fall into a lot of problems, when they continue to not deal with their own woundedness. And once again, if you're not dealing with your woundedness and you're not dealing with your conflict and you're not creating or saying, Lord, how do I create some bonds with people in the body so that we can talk to each other and we can pray for each other and we can pray over each other? Because eventually this perfectionism that comes from stuffing shows its ugly head, and it tears up relationships. In the body, in the people that you're serving or the people that you're co-leading with, it can be so, like some people say, you're not easy to talk to. I don't never know if you're going to be up or down. And the Holy Spirit will show you that. If you're paying attention, he'll show you, why are your emotions all over the place? And if you say, I don't know, that's an indicator of you stuffing, of you being numb. And so cast your cares on the Lord, because he really does care about what's going on with you. And believe it or not, when you begin to find those people to share, they care about what's going on. They see it. They see something's not right. You know, you're tired. You're burnt out. And, you know, it's easy for us to recognize that in people, whether we're serving with them, co-serving with them, or we're under them. But my head always goes back, because God always deals with me. Why do you think they're dealing with that? And, of course, I, in my own limited understanding, I don't know, but then I begin to say, Father, what could be the issue? He doesn't always tell me, but he'll tell me what to pray. And all that means is that what you see, there's something else underneath that. Judge people, you know, especially our leaders, when you don't know what's wrong or you don't know why they're dealing with, why you're seeing what you're seeing. That's really what I want to say. People need to be delivered on a regular basis, and leaders and servant leaders are driven by what God is telling us to do, but God cares about us as well as his leaders, and we should care about each other as leaders, as co-leaders. We should pray for each other in a place of compassion and sympathy and love. So that we can learn at different times how to bear one another's burdens. Somebody can be dealing with perfectionism and dealing with the need to be affirmed and validated by other people, because that's what keeps them going. And they also may have this thing where your insecurities, whatever you do to cover up your insecurities, is real. Some people are really good at masking their insecurities, but I believe on some levels we all have them. And because we're human and we're all growing from glory to glory and maturing. And so there are insecurities that we have. And many times it's just a zeal, you know, to cover them up or do whatever it takes to not deal with our fears and our insecurities or fear of an insecurity that we might have. Some people are great writers, but they're not great speakers. And some people are great speakers, but not great writers. And that's just one small example of where somebody might be dealing with an insecurity, or how they look, or their financial situation may make them insecure, or their marriage, or their lack of marriage, or whatever, certain things. We all got them. We all have them. But greater is he that's in us and he that's in this world. So that means don't compare and compete. Don't compare yourself with anything or anyone else. And if you realize that the reason why you have that unhealthy coping mechanism is because you have some insecurities, you better take that stuff to God before it turns into something worse. And it usually will, because once again, it's like, are you leading from the heart of God, or are you leading from a hurt? Are you leading from an insecurity? Where are you leading from? Are you leading from a place where you're trying to please people? You know, Are you leading from a place where you just want to stay busy so you don't have to deal with the mess in the stalls? You want to ride the horses, but you don't want to clean the stalls. So you have to think about, you know, those things that just come along with serving. These are a lot of the stuff I'm talking about is just practical and the rigors of what we go through on a daily basis. But a lot of people are just now starting, I think in the last 10 to 15 years, starting to write about it and talk about it because we are seeing the manifestation of these things being broken down in the body of Christ. And I'm concerned. I get sad and heavy about losing people to the world, losing them because of suicide, losing them because of mental illness that has been undetected or untreated for years because of shame and different things like that. I think when Bishop gave me this show, it was called Walking Wounded, and one of the topics we talked about a lot was suicide. We talked about mental illness, and I feel like, okay, so what does that got to do with servant leadership? A lot. That's why this issue, as it pertains to us being healthy emotionally and dealing with these things, is being addressed. Because at the root of a lot of these things that I'm talking about is unforgiveness, is not being healed from the past, things that people did to us as children and so on and so forth, or a broken marriage, or just guilt from when you were out in the world and how you lived. And you still trying to make up for it. And God is concerned about what moves you. He's concerned about what motivates you to lead. He's concerned about what motivates how you lead. And that's why learning to be led by Him is so important. Learning to be led by Him, cultivating that in your life, getting rid of this perfectionism and stuff that you and that the world tells us to do, and we shouldn't be getting any of our cues from the world, to be honest. It should only truly come from the Lord and from His word. But, you know, there's always ways to be healthy in dealing with this stuff. Doesn't mean it goes away, but don't be in denial about it because then you can start being healthy. So you have to always be true to who you are, where you are versus who you are and versus where God wants you to be, that you're a work in progress. And that God is developing you in areas of humility, or God's dealing with you about spirit of offense, or God's dealing with you about rejection, and you realize He was bringing that to the forefront in your latest assignment, or God is dealing with you about your busyness or your unavailable emotional posture towards the people that you're on over. Or towards your family. You're available to everybody at church or in your ministry, but you're not available to your own family. And that's a big problem. And that, whether you realize it or not, affects how you serve. How you serve. So I think we have to be willing to put the cart, put the horse before the cart. That's what I mean. Do things in order. So when God is dealing with you, with your relationship with Him, and then He starts dealing with your relationship with others, and then how are you treating yourself? That's what this really is about. It's how you're treating yourself and how are you serving Him by dealing with these emotional issues in your leadership style and the things of your heart and your soul, rather. You know, we learn to be emotionally dishonest because it's safe. And I think that we are learning to be equipped to deal with our hurt, our pain, our unforgiveness, like I said, our rejection, our anger, whatever it may be, in a godly way. The Holy Spirit is there to help us navigate through all of this. Everyone. He really is. He wants to be even more so used to help us navigate through these hard places of conflict and being triggered and overreacting and mishandling the people of God and being dishonest and, you know, not being connected in what we do, not really communing with the Lord when we serve people, not being honest with Him about how we feel about our assignments and where we are. and saying, Lord, I need you to strengthen me. Give me courage. Give me understanding. Give me clarity. Help me to focus. Help me to forgive. Help me to move on. Help me to learn to love people where I am. Help me to be honest with them and myself. Help me to, you know, the list can go on and on depending on what you're dealing with and what your assignment is. And being dishonest emotionally for years as a servant leader eventually will make you a wounded person. You will be the most wounded person, and after a while you can't hide it because people hear it and people see it. And all they can say is, "What, you know, something's wrong, something's been wrong for a while." And that is one of those things you can't even pray about for that person because you have to, you can pray for them, what I mean, I don't think that came out right. But what I mean is you have to pray that their inner eyes be enlightened, that they see what's going on with them and that they reconnect with the Lord to be healed, that they just be healed. And you have to pray God's purposes for their life. Doesn't mean their ministry is over or that they'll stop serving, but you have to pray that they get healed so that they can stop this pattern and not dig a bigger hole. Don't ignore what's wrong. When you ignore what's wrong, you can't take it to God. And when you can't take it to God, you're carrying around this burden that doesn't even belong to you. Because God is saying, cast your cares on him. Learn to live in a practical way how you serve by dealing with your stuff and letting God help you deal with your stuff and him showing you how to get a support system that will help you increase the capacity to carry more. Because he will never put more in you than what you can bear, which means don't borrow trouble. Don't borrow all these things in your life that have nothing to do with what he told you to do. That's why the first thing I talked about was being led and knowing who you're being led by, who is influencing your motives and what you do and why you do it when you serve people. These days, I think that when God has called us to levels of maturity, a lot of times it has to do with conflict resolution. And you know how you know you are being matured and developed is the types of relationships you have with people. The grace that God gave you, you're offering that to them as well. Mercy as well. Just love, just patience. You know that there's something different about how you love people. And at the end of the day, I'm not talking about this stuff because not just from a place where I'm concerned about people healing. I think I just want people, all of us, to just understand how God loves us so much and that without him, we couldn't do this. And so for us to experience his help and for us to see ourselves like we really are and that we're developing, we begin to see the love, how we serve people, right? We begin to see his love. How can we really, truly pour out into people the way that God has poured into us unless we deal with some of this stuff that can get in the way? When there's a filter, just like when you drink coffee, there's a filter there so that you don't get coffee grounds in your coffee, right? If our filter in our life are these things that I just got done talking about, what is going to get to the people? What are they drinking? Something that's full of pride, something that's full of fear, something that's full of unforgiveness, instead of really feeling the love of God and feeling empowered and feeling capable and feeling, you know, cared for. They get all this stuff that won't take, it doesn't have any longevity in their lives. It won't develop anything good. So if you're a filter, just ask God to change your heart and help you to serve from a place that's genuine by learning to deal with these things that challenge us, to make us humble, to make us be in a place where we can learn more to help and serve better. That's really what it is. And a lot of these things that we do when it comes to serving the body, we don't want to do it. People are hard to deal with, especially nowadays. I don't think especially nowadays. I just think that the more that God develops us and helps us to love other people, which usually means he's going to put you in a situation where he's going to try you. And so sometimes you deal with some difficult situations. Sometimes it's not anything to do with the people. Sometimes it has to do with yourself. And how willing are you to submit to the purposes of God, as uncomfortable and inconvenient as it can be. But at the same time, you can say, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me how to do things the way you would, with the right attitude and the right heart at all times. Where I am broken, where I'm hurt, don't let me be in a place of denial. But let me, you know, avail myself to you, Lord, and be more vulnerable to you, so that when I'm serving the people, I'm vulnerable to them, so that they can feel every piece of who you are through me. So right now I'm going to close and begin to pray for the things that we talked about tonight. And this is the last part of me talking about emotionally healthy leaders. This will continue to be my heart. I think this is one of those things I'm going to continue to hit on from time to time as it comes up in my prayer and as it comes up in the things that I see that's going on in the body of Christ. So we are his hands and feet, beloved. And so if our feet and hands are tired or beaten down or worn, how can we really serve? How can we really serve? We need to ask the Lord to heal us in these areas so we can serve and strengthen us in these areas so we can serve in a more excellent way. Father God, I thank you tonight for this show. I thank you for you speaking so clearly to all of our hearts about how we lead and about our vulnerabilities and our insecurities and places that we need to replace you with in areas of our heart. Our will, our mind, and our emotions, how we make our decisions, how we use the wisdom that you give us in your word, what do we, our ability and availability to the people, how we pour out, how we don't pour out, how to be organized, Father, how to bear the weight. Thank you, Father God, today for increasing the capacity to serve in a better way, to really be honest with you and ourselves and others in our lives. And I truly believe this will foster in new levels of healing and understanding and focus and clarity that we haven't seen before. So that, and it will eradicate judging and rejection and us compartmentalizing and comparing with one another in different ministries. Give us great understanding and wisdom, Lord, so we can show love and be the love that you are to us and be the light and the salt in the body of Christ. I thank you for this program. I thank you for the opportunity to serve in this capacity, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, today that since this channel is about being transformed, I thank you that your word is transforming us even now. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God. You have been listening to Prophetess Vanessa Carver with Wounded No More. And what a timely, necessary word she has been bringing about emotionally, spiritually healthy servant leaders. Now, we have a few more moments left. So if you are sitting in the studio, or you are in the chat room, if you would have you have a comment or you would just like to put a praise on it or even a question, press your 1. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. So, and if you're in the chat room, you can just begin to relay your message and I will relay it to Prophetess Vanessa. Hallelujah. I always allow, we always try to allow everyone here to never walk away with a question or, or anything. So we just always love to give you an opportunity. Prophetess Vanessa, I want to thank you for the awesome job that you did. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We do have one. Okay. Area code 360-1781. Good evening and God bless you.
Oh, good evening. I just wanted to say what a timely word indeed. Thank you so much, Prophetess Vanessa, for bringing that word as I've listened. And I've only caught the third part of your series. So, but truly, I think that part about the busyness really resonated with me. Just knowing how easy it is to fall into that and to let that take precedence, even when you feel like you're putting God first, and yet you know that your prayer life isn't where it should be, just in pure busyness. And that really, really, really spoke a lot to my heart tonight. So I just want to thank you for that.
Praise
You're
God.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking up and speaking out. Hallelujah. And that's what it's all about, touching and agreeing, praising God for our growth. So again, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night. God bless.
Good night. Thank you. Good night. Have a good night.